Good morning. Please join with me in reading God's Word. If you're still looking for it, it's on page 374, Psalm 1. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked, they are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction.
Today I'm up here to talk to you about connecting with God through meditation. And I don't know if you've heard a whole sermon in a church before about meditation, but when someone talks to me about meditation, I tend to think that they might be from a Hindu background or a Buddhist background or maybe someone from Byron Bay. I was walking down the street in St. Ives and I was chatting with an Indian man and I said hi and I asked him how his day was going and he was so happy. And I said, why are you so happy? And he said, I spent my morning meditating. And I asked him to teach me what that meant, and you know, it was he was generous to explain Hindu faith to me. He invited me to his home and I spent an hour or two with him, and he explains that his daily practice is to wake up and to meditate, by which I've come to understand in Hindu meditation is about clearing your mind. It's maybe you focus on your breathing, some chant, they focus on breathing until you are free of the attachments of the world, free of the suffering. Some Hindus picture a deity, a Hindu deity, and they focus on the deity until they become free of self and one with this deity. The goal in Hindu meditation is ultimately to escape the cycle of reincarnation and to become one with the universe. So this is a whole way of thinking, meditation, that's so common around the world, that's gone all through popular culture, so that a lot of us, when we think about meditation, think of emptying our minds. Today we're here to talk about Christian meditation, which is going to prove to be quite different to Hindu meditation. Meditation is in the Bible, and I was interested in Genesis chapter 24. It says the patriarch Isaac was living in the Negev and he went out to the field one evening to meditate. It makes you wonder, what did he do? What was he thinking about? What was he focusing on? What position did he sit in? How did he go about meditating? Genesis 24 doesn't give you the answers. You want to understand meditation in the Bible? You've got to look elsewhere. Psalms is the place where the word, the English word meditate, meditation, that word group is used most in the Bible. And so we find ourselves in Psalm chapter 1, verse 1. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. So there's the word meditates. And here it's really clear what the focus is upon. In biblical meditation, it's not about clearing your mind and emptying your mind. It's about filling your mind and focusing on the law of the Lord, it says there, on his law. Twice it speaks about focusing on his law, which back then when Psalm 1 was written, didn't just mean the Ten Commandments, which were etched into some stone tablets and kept in the temple. It meant the book of the law, which contained the Ten Commandments and all the writings with Moses and all that stuff of the early parts of the Bible. So they're talking about meditating on the Bible. And that is Christian meditation, meditating on the Bible. So this is how Christian meditation is different to Hindu meditation. Hindu meditation is about emptying your mind so that you can detach from the sufferings. But Christian meditation is about filling your mind with God's truth, chewing on the verses of the scriptures so that they become a part of who you are and how you live. And what that looks like is, for many of us, we open the Bible and we chew on the words of scriptures. So it's not about emptying your mind, it's about filling your mind. I wonder if you saw this satirical piece on Batuta Advocate, can I get this next slide, off the back of the social media ban for children. There was a bit of a laughter going around on the internet about this one. Millions of kids come home from school today, flick on the telly and enjoy some wholesome gambling ads. The point that stands out to me from this article is not just about what you take away from young people, it's about what you fill their minds with. So it's no good to take away social media and fill minds with gambling ads. What young people need is a positive news feed, and that's what the Bible is intended to be. I'd love to hear your perspectives on the social media ban later. I'm not here to make a commentary on that, just to say what really matters is what goes in the scriptures, the Bible. Blessed is the kid who meditates on the Bible day and night, who thinks about it, chews on it, recites the Bible so it drills down into their heart and life. And that's what the kids' ministry at Christchurch does so well. And that's why I'm so happy that my kids are part of Christchurch and Ives. During the COVID lockdown, I remember the kids' ministry team trying to figure out, how do we help children meditate on the word of the Lord? And so there was a plan put in place to get children to read through the Gospel of Mark. And I remember it, my kids were a bit younger, and the older ones, they started reading the Gospel of Mark. My son finished reading Mark and said, what do I read next? I said, we'll read another Gospel. He said, what do I read next? And I said, we'll read the New Testament. And then he finished that and said, what do I read next? And I said, we'll read the Old Testament. And then he finished that. And now I thank God for the children's ministry at this church. I've got two out of my four children that have finished reading the Bible cover to cover. Praise God. That makes me happy because I read here and it says, blessed is the one who meditates on the Bible day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers, for the Lord watches over the way of the righteous. These are the things that I want for my children. These are the things we all want for ourselves. We want to be fruitful in life. We want to prosper. And we would love to have what it says there, the Lord caring for us, watching over the way of the righteous. That's what we want. We want to connect to God. We want to relate to God. We want God that would be looking over us and caring for us. And that brings us to the heart of what this whole series is about. This series is about connecting with God. It's not just about meditation today. It's about connecting with God through meditation. And over the next few weeks, we'll be talking about connecting with God through rest and worship and fasting and prayer and other things. So come back to hear more. But for today, I want to express how good it is that we can connect with God through the Bible and meditation. Not meditating on your breathing, but meditating on the Bible. The reason the Bible is the center of our attention is that we understand in Christianity that the Bible is the voice of God himself. So a couple more scriptures for you here on the screen. All scripture is God-breathed. This is why the Bible is the focus, because the Bible isn't just a book, it's the breathed voice of God. You open it and God breathes his voice into your life. It also says, just the verse earlier in 2 Timothy, the Holy Scriptures are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus. So the way it works is you open the Bible and at the center of the Bible is Jesus. And then you look into Jesus and you realize the God-saving plan, the plan that makes you wise for salvation is Jesus Christ, faith in Jesus Christ, so that through the Scriptures, you meditate on the Scriptures and you become wise for salvation. So salvation so that you can relate to God. Salvation so that you can connect with God. And so if you want to relate with God or grow in your relationship with God or reconnect with God or connect with God for the first time, then the way that God gives you to do that is through opening the Scriptures and hearing about Jesus Christ and hearing all the great things as you meditate on the word about how to live in relationship with God now that he's saved you through the Lord Jesus Christ. A lot of people think that the Bible is just a book, and if you don't like reading, you might struggle to get it out. Be like, why would I want to read a book? But this is not just a book. This is God-breathed. What we find is that a lot of the time people who start to take the Bible seriously open it up and give it what it's worth, and they start to read the Bible. In the end, they find that the Bible's reading them. And they realize that the man at the middle of it, Jesus Christ, is very compelling. And it shapes everything about their lives. And they find themselves, we find ourselves, drawn into the presence of God, at ease in the presence of God, because of what he tells us through his promises in the scriptures. Hebrews 4:12, we heard this already today. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitude of the heart. This is the power. Have I just lost my connection? We're back. This is the power of the word of God. It's not just the word of a human being. It's the word of God. That's what it says there. The word of God is alive and active. This isn't a dead book. It's not a history book. This is the living, breathing word of God. So that even if at first you thought it felt a bit like a book, as you opened it up and it walked into your life, you hear the very voice of God. It is sharp, razor sharp. Sometimes we don't like sharp, so we close the book and put it down. But sharp's good, because sharp means that it penetrates to your very heart and it exposes things even in your subconscious that you're not even aware of, and it makes you aware of yourself. It makes you aware of yourself as God sees you. It enables you to restore that fractured relationship with God through his mercy, and as you repent and turn to him, and he guides you so that day in, day out, as you meditate on the scriptures, they make you fruitful and prosperous. And so this is the power of the Bible. Psalm 19 talks about the power of the Bible like this. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. That last bit there about more precious than gold, we use exaggeration all the time. That's not meant to be read as exaggeration. We say, oh, I had the best day ever. We say things like that all the time. I brought a tin foil dish to the family home the other day. I was asked to bring it along, and my wife said to me, did you bring the dish? I said, yeah, I brought the dish. Oh, you're my hero. That's a beautiful exaggeration. You're my hero for bringing a dish. We use exaggeration all the time, but here it says, the Bible is more precious than gold, and it's not an exaggeration. It's saying that if you could choose between the Bible and your bank balance, choose the Bible. It's more precious than gold. And when it talks about sweeter than honey, I don't know what you ate at Christmas time that you feel is your favorite food. But honey was a favorite food back then, and it's saying the Bible is sweeter than your favorite food. So when you get out of bed and you're thinking about your day, don't get so excited just about all the delicacies you're about to eat. Get excited about the Bible, which is sweeter than all of those different things. So as we enter 2026, I liked what Hugh said about not starting next week, but starting today. But as we enter 2026, let's enjoy the Bible. Let's not underestimate its power as we meditate on the voice of God day and night, and he shapes us as we connect with him. The other day I was in the car with a guy called Isaac. Isaac got baptized in November, and he's like just really excited about the Bible. And I said to him, what does meditation look like for you? And he said, every morning I can't get out of my room without reading the Bible. Every day I sit down and meditate. in the morning and night. Psalm 1 tells us to do so, and so I do it every morning and every night, and it really helps. I didn't tell him I was preaching Psalm 1, but because he was meditating on the word so much, he was like, meditation? Oh, Psalm 1. And then he talked to me about how he does that morning and night, and I thought that was pretty inspiring. Wouldn't it be great if more of us were living this out? I was chatting to another lady, Tracy. She was explaining she's renovating a house at the moment, and she's deliberately renovating a space in the house for meditation. So she does this as a pattern. She wakes up early. She does 45 minutes of Bible and prayer. Then she does exercise. And then she goes to work. Wouldn't it be exciting if more of us were able to have that disciplined lifestyle? If you want to relate to God, if you want to connect with God, then pulling out the Bible has got to be one of the most exciting things you could do as you listen to the voice of God. So just as I bring things to a close, I want to do a little bit more on what Hugh was doing earlier. He was helping us reflect practically on how to do this. And he said some of the stuff I'm going to say. And I reckon a lot of you know what to do because, you know, if you've been around church for a while and you've had a go at this, you probably don't need my tips. Just go and do it. But I want to give a few tips just so that we can continue as a community to walk forward. So I've got four tips. Tip one, spiral in. This sounds a bit circular, but the more you read the Bible, the more you want to read the Bible, the more you enjoy it. And I think Hugh said the same thing. So I might just skip that point. Just to say, start and you'll enjoy it more. It's like exercise. Second point, ask around. I was chatting to a few people. Kathy subscribes to a Prayer Mate daily devotional. Arthur is working through the Psalms slowly with a commentary. Nigel's reading the YouVersion Bible app 2-year reading plan. Ashley has a double-sided piece of paper with all the chapters of the Bible pictured there. She gets a highlighter out and highlights the ones she's read. Ollie's got on his phone a widget that when you look at the home screen, it gives you a different verse when you pick up your phone. Just different ideas. A Hindu has a guru who trains people for meditation, but for you, probably the best gurus are the ones sitting next to you. In the church here, there's so many gurus because so many people are meditating on the word, and often the best gurus are the people in the same stage of life as you or the people that are struggling with the same things as you because you've got to work out together what works for you in your stage of life. So ask around and get some ideas. Tip three, experiment. I was going through the Bible in a 2-year plan to go cover to cover through the Bible. And after about a year, I felt like I was going through it a bit monotonously. So I shifted it up and I went into the book of Acts. And I enjoyed it so much as I went through slowly. And I finished the book of Acts and I lost my way a little bit because I'd just finished a book and I was a bit lost for what to do next. And so after a bit, I figured out I'm going to read Isaiah. And I have this book, which is a Alec Motyer's translation in Hebrew of this of Isaiah. I thought I'm going to work through slowly. But when I was doing it, it felt like preparing a sermon in that I was going from original languages. And it was so deep that it felt a bit too hard for my morning routine. So I axed that. And now I'm back on the 2-year reading plan and I'm happy. So the point is, experiment, try stuff, move around, and you'll find things that work for you. Lastly, etch it in. I don't know if you've ever tried to etch something into a rock, like a bit of, you get a sandstone and you try and etch something in. In the Old Testament, you know that the Ten Commandments were etched into stone tablets, and so this language of etching it into your heart appears in the Old Testament. The idea of etching in the law of the Lord into your heart. And that takes repetition, time, patience, and persistence. I reckon the patriarch Isaac, when he went into the wilderness to meditate, would have sat down and he would have probably under his breath spoken out loud the promises of God over and over and over again as he etched it into his heart. What will it look like for you as you head into 2026 to etch the word of God into your heart? All this is about your relationship with God. The more you want to relate to God, the more you will want to open the Bible, because the Bible is the living, active voice of God given to us as a great gift. And if you live by it, you will be like a tree planted on a river. Let me pray, and I'll invite the band to come up while I pray. Let me pray. Our God in heaven, we thank you for speaking and making yourself known. We pray that you would encourage our hearts as we open and meditate on the scriptures. Guide all of us this week, Lord, to get on top of our Bible reading so that we enter 2026 enthusiastic to listen to your voice. Amen.